Tracing your family history is rewarding and challenging, according to our guest genealogist this hour. And she will help us climb and trace and plot our family tree this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Are you into genealogy? What got you involved? Have you run into any roadblocks in your search? What questions or suggestions do you have to help in family research? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kimberly Powell, About.com's expert genealogist, president of the Association of Professional Genealogists, and author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Trace your roots, share your history, and create your family tree, which was released last month in its third edition. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you along. So what's new in online genealogy? I suppose things change with the internet.
Oh, there's new records today that weren't there yesterday and weren't there the day before. So, yes, the internet is constantly changing and adding new records and information that we can help us learn about our history.
I'm going to mention right off the bat that we are in our winter pledge drive, and we will be asking throughout the hour for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we have been doing the past couple of days. Today, though, if you are a family history buff, if you are into genealogy, this is the hour for you, because we are offering as our thank you gift for a pledge of $150, 150, to Wisconsin Public Radio, we are offering the book, The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, the brand new third edition. You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So what are we going to find out in this book, Kimberly?
Well, you're going to learn everything from how to get started, what kinds of questions to ask your relatives, and how to start searching on the internet, what records to begin with, what types of searches you should use. And then you'll delve into different types of records, census records, military records, cemetery records, naturalization and immigration if you have immigrant ancestors. And you'll learn how not only to find those records and where they're available, but also how to look for additional records that you might not have thought of.
We'll get more into some of the nuts and bolts, but I'd like to know, what got you hooked on genealogy?
Well, as with many people, it was a family tree project that was assigned at school. I think I was about 12 or 13. My mother had some of our family tree recorded in my baby book that she shared with me, and she also had this brown paper towel, one of those industrial ones you find in the bathrooms, that had some notes that she'd taken when she was in the hospital with her father. He died of pancreatic cancer the day I turned 6 months old, and she'd taken some notes trying to get that information from him before he passed away. And I also wrote letters to both of my grandmothers for that project, asking them for information. I was a very typical kid, of course. I asked them if they could please send it immediately, and this was via mail, not email back then. But they were very accommodating and sent me, you know, page after page of responses about the family history. And very interestingly, they even saved those letters, and both of them recently returned them to me, so I got to relive my own first experience with family history, which was a lot of fun.
Aww.
A little embarrassing, you know, the way I asked them to send everything right away, but it was a lot of fun.
So what did you learn in this project? Did you find out, that you're related to some famous person or something?
No, but I think it was the first time that my entire family had been pulled together in one family tree from both sides. And it was just, for me, it was very interesting because I don't think I had known much beyond my grandparents and a little bit about my great-grandparents, but my grandmothers obviously knew a lot further back than that, and I'd never thought to ask them. So to me, it was fascinating.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that I'm sad that I didn't start earlier because a lot of my my parents are gone and most of their generation is gone right now, and nobody's really plotted our family trees either, from my mom's side or my dad's side. So if we are interested in learning about our family history, where do we start?
Well, it is difficult for people like you who have very few relatives left living, but that's exactly where you should start. You should start with your living relatives because they do, unfortunately, not live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold answers that you're not going to find in any kind of record that you would be able to locate online or in the courthouse. They also have DNA, which is a great way, a new tool that genealogists are using to research their family history.
How do you do that?
Well, DNA, there's several different testing companies online. One of them, they use you send in a little tube with some spit. The other ones, you use cheek swabs, and they test your DNA, and there's several different types of tests, and they can help be used in conjunction with traditional genealogy research to learn more about your family history and what parts of the world they came from.
Mm-hmm. So if we don't have living relatives, maybe I'm in the minority here, but is there some other place I should start if I can't ask living relatives some information?
Well, absolutely, and you're not in the minority, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get started when it's a little late. There are probably do have living relatives somewhere. They might be third cousins. So locating some of them, they may have information that was passed down in your family that tells about your family, photographs and documents and stories. And so locating some of them is a good way to start.
What do you do though? If for instance, the records are all in Europe somewhere.
Well, those actually, a lot of them are coming online, mm-hmm. or on microfilm, available on microfilm through archives or through the Family Search, which is the library of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so those records are also available. But, I would start with the most recent relative you know anything about. So, you could get your parents' death certificates and their obituaries, or your grandparents' death certificates and obituaries, because those are going to list possibly their parents' names, where they were born, and also living relatives, which can help you start to track down extended family. And you kind of work your way back from that. If you can get back to 1940, the U.S. Census is open to the public from 1940, going back all the way to 1790. And that was taken once every 10 years, and that provides a lot of information and can help people get back who do not have living relatives to start with.
Boy, it sounds like this is kind of difficult. How difficult is it?
It takes time to learn how to do everything. It's not that difficult to get started because so many of the records are available online. You're not having to spend, hours scrolling microfilm or waiting weeks for a new microfilm to arrive. So you can get back pretty far. There are a lot of tools online that help connect people with relatives and make it easier for you to find records without a lot of knowledge. And then there's also a lot of education online. There are free tutorials and webinars and classes, and local libraries often offer classes that can help you get started.
And even if it can be a little bit challenging, you say it's really rewarding. Talk a little bit about that. Why is it so rewarding?
Yes, the challenge is part of the reward. I love a challenge. I love solving puzzles and problems, and so if you're that type of person, you're going to find this addicting in a hurry. But I think all of us really like to know where we come from. It tells us not only about our own heritage, it helps us kind of learn about the history of the world and our place in it. It helps to make us better global citizens. We realize the world is not quite as big or as different as we think it might be. Family health history is another very important reason that people might want to learn more about their own history, because the medical disorders that ran in your family, the knowledge of that can help doctors test earlier and hopefully, anticipate things that might come up in your own health. And one thing that was interesting is that a study was done a few years ago by researchers at, I think it was Emory University and University of North Carolina, that indicated that children who know more about their own family history display higher levels of emotional well-being and self-esteem. So some people might say that's the family connection. You know, if they know about their family history, then they're obviously talking to their family members, and so that's probably a big part of that.
Well, that's an important reason. We are talking with Kimberly Powell. She is the author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, which is just out in its third edition. And we will welcome your questions for her about tracing your family history. If you have run into any roadblocks, or perhaps you even have a success story to share, 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to join us. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about family history and genealogy, and we will continue talking with our guest, who is the author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, in just a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener contributions are the single largest source of our funding, and your gift keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got a special thank you gift for those of you who are able to make a pledge of $12.50 a month or $150 a year. The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Trace your roots, share your history, and create your family tree. You genealogy buffs are going to love this book. It's such a great resource. There's so many little tips and advice and recommendations on where to turn to for certain types of information. A lot of the stuff that you and Kimberly Powell are talking about this hour. The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy can be yours for that pledge of $150, $12.50 a month, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are working toward a goal of 60 pledges, 60 pledges during this hour. Four of you have already called in a pledge or went online and made a pledge. Thank you so much. But it's important to stay on track during these pledge drives and meet these hourly goals. And we do have a great reason for you to pledge. Not only are you pledging for the wide variety of great programs that you hear in the morning or all day long on the Ideas Network, we do have this thank you gift for $12.50 a month. The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that pledge will help ensure that the programs you depend on every day will be here to stay. Whether it's a 3-minute news update or a 60-minute talk show, you hear about the topics that affect your life, and you hear about them on Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners like you help pay for the quality programs you hear every day, like The Joy Cardine Show. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable, but nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can consider a $12.50 a month sustaining donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. And if you make that $12.50 a month donation, a $150 donation a year or more, we will send you, if you would like it, the book that we are talking about this hour, The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Trace your roots, share your history, and create your family tree. This is just out in its third edition. It says here that There are new sites and software and apps and much more. I suppose, Bill, things change with the internet.
They certainly do. I was just kind of thinking. I think the only time that I've really traced my family history was part of a class project in, I don't know, probably fourth or fifth grade, something way far back. The internet has really come such a long way since then. I'm really intrigued to want to dig into more of this and use some of these tips and tools and apps and stuff that are available and see how far back I can go and see if there's some fascinating stuff in my family. So if that's the kind of thing that you're into, this book is going to be mighty helpful to you, and that can be yours for that pledge of $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You first joined the Wisconsin Public Radio community as a listener. You're tuning in every day or most every day, and after a while, it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR is a group effort.
We do this together, one pledge at a time, $1 at a time, and we're inviting you to join this group right now. You could start with a donation of, say, $5 a month. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because Wisconsin Public Radio comes on every time you start the car, that's a sign it's time to donate.
Or because you hit your WPR preset every time a commercial airs on another station, that's a sign it's time to donate. This means that WPR is your main radio station, and you're glad that we're listener-supported.
Your donation makes the programs that you enjoy on WPR possible and uninterrupted by long blocks of commercials. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's so easy to give. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Save some time and money and use a credit card if you can. You can make a one-time gift, or you can start the automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give, then do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider giving $12.50 a month and ask for the Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, now out in its third edition. It just came out, I think, a few weeks ago, so this is a nice, fresh book. Everything you'll need to know about genealogy and tracing your family tree is probably in this book, so it's going to be a great resource for you. Again, that can be yours for that pledge of $12.50 a month at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 54 pledges to reach our goal this hour. Won't you be one of them? Join John and Linda from Madison, who made a pledge and said, "You keep us informed in an unbiased way." Thank you, John and Linda. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you later. Tracing your family's history can be very rewarding, according to our guest this hour. However, it can also be a challenge. We are talking about how to get started, how to make the most of online tools, and our guest will answer any genealogy-related questions that you might have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. We are talking with Kimberly Powell. She is About.com's expert genealogist. She's president of the Association of Professional Genealogists and author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Trace your roots, share your history, and create your family tree. And we have so many people who want to talk with you, Kimberly. Let's go to the phones. Sandy in Lake Villa, Illinois is with us. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. My family on both sides has had the same name only for a couple of generations, to our knowledge, the same last name. We believe it was changed by the family, and not just a shortening of it. It was completely different. How would we go about finding our relatives beyond the names that we know of? Is that possible?
That's a very good and common question. A lot of people who immigrated to the United States changed their name. Sometimes they shortened it. Sometimes they Americanized it. My family's Toman became Thomas. Sometimes they just completely changed it. They might have had things in their past that they just, you know, didn't want to remember. or they just wanted to fit in and assimilate into the, you know, new country where they were living. The best way you can learn their original names is to just trace your way back through every record you can find. If they were naturalized citizens, the earliest immigrants, that would be indicated on some of the census records. I don't know how far back you're talking about, but if they came in after, say, 1900, it would say if they immigrated and if they had applied for naturalization, and their naturalization papers might include their original name. If you can get back to their immigration record and find them on a passenger list, that would have their original name. Probably they probably came in under their old name. The hard part's making the connection, and sometimes the naturalization records can do it. Sometimes you can go back in the censuses and you can look for the family structure. So they might be in 1920 using their new name, but in 1910 they were using their old name, but you'll see the same children. And if you search just by children's names, first names, and ages when you're searching online census records, sometimes you can find that family group, you know, with a completely different name, but you'll recognize it for who they are when you find them.
Okay. So that connection might be hard to find, but it's likely to exist?
You'll be able, I mean, it does exist. It may not be official. They may not have ever officially changed their name. You may find that sometimes. If they did ever apply for a passport or if they became naturalized, they may have, you know, recorded their original name and their new name. But however, they may never have done it. They may have just changed it. But if you can search for that family group, you learn everything you can about the family, make sure you locate them in every census that you can, all the way back to the immigration, you can learn where they came from, and you can use where they came from in the year they immigrated to try to find them on a passenger list, even under their old names. Because you have that family group, you'll kind of recognize it when you see it, hopefully.
Yeah, for example, what do you have off the top of your head, Kimberly, the site you can go to see the Ellis Island records?
It's ellisislandrecords.org.
That's easy enough.
Yes. And there's also one for Castle Garden, which is another port in New York City. Yes, it is Ellis. It's ellisisland.org. And there's also one for Castle Garden. Familysearch.org has a lot of immigration records online for free. And then some of the subscription websites such as Ancestry.com and MyHeritage and FindMyPath.com all have immigration records. Mm-hmm. So some of it will depend. Not everybody came in through New York City, for example.
Right.
There are ports all up and down in the eastern and western United States, and some came through Canada.
But if you had the name that you believe the family changed it to, would that be on those records along with the original name if it truly indeed was changed, or would that have happened later?
Generally, that happened later. The mm-hmm. names were not changed at Ellis Island. That's generally something that the family did later. They mm-hmm. they typically immigrated under their original name. Ellis Island officials did not change names. That's a myth. But a lot of families did within the first 10 years after they moved change their name. And so that's you may find that recorded officially in other records, or you may just find them using a new name, and then you have to just find records where you can recognize the family. You know, hopefully trace them through. If they moved in one, lived in the same town, that can be helpful, for example.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Sandy. Next we go to Scott in Lake Geneva. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Are you trying to trace your family history?
Yeah, I've been pretty successful with my mother's family. I think I'm back to, you know, somewhere around 1450. That's been fairly, may not have been easy, but it's not been as difficult as my father's family, which is Sicilian. And that's been a problem. By the way, names didn't necessarily get changed purposely, but they certainly got changed inadvertently because apparently we hired people who couldn't spell very well back then.
I agree. My grandfather's name was Primo, as in number one. And on the Ellis Island records or the passenger list, I can't remember which one, I think it was Ellis Island, says Bruno. They just misunderstood.
Yeah. That's what makes it really difficult. Like you said, with my mother's side of the family, has been fairly easy. My father's side, I've kind of hit a roadblock, and actually I have a reason for doing this, because I want to, my brother and I want to reclaim our Italian citizenship, which we can under their law. However, we need the genealogical information in order to do that. We've done the DNA, the ancestry DNA thing, which is, it's interesting, but honestly it didn't provide much help. My question really is would it be worth it to hire a professional genealogist in Italy to find this information for us, and is it information that can be found?
There are a lot of people, especially, you know, looking to gain an Italian citizenship, for example, who do hire professional genealogists. I know in the Association of Professional Genealogists, we have professionals in both the United States and Italy who could help you with that. Even in the United States, they have connections in Italy, so you can work with somebody here local, maybe close to you, who would be able to help you access the records in Italy. A lot of Italian records are online, but, you know, if you're not Italian, you can't read them. So, again, hiring a professional to work their way through those records might be a much more time-effective way to handle that than you. And there are people, you know, a lot of these professional genealogists will actually help you with your application for the citizenship and all the required proofs that are needed.
All right. Good luck to you, Scott. Let's go to Irene in Monona. Hi, Irene.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I've started working on my genealogy ancestry. Last May I started, and it quickly can become a great pursuit. Kind of the hunt is rewarding as what you find. I just had a couple of comments. When you use online programs, whether it's FamilySearch.org or WikiTree or Ancestry.com, any of those, you really have to double look at all the information you get, because you'll get, because a lot of the information is passed along, I'll put information in, somebody else, and you'll get where the mother's birth date is after the children's.
Absolutely, yes.
And you have to just really take your time for your sake and for everybody else's.
So you got to double-check that stuff, Kimberly.
Yes, it's an excellent point, because a lot of the records that people might find online in some of these online family trees have been entered by other genealogists. And because they're entered by multiple people, they're not always correct. And so you need to anything that you find that's been entered into a database, you want to actually go back and look at the original records yourself and do your own research to verify what you found in the online family trees.
We are talking about tracing our family history and tracing our family trees, and we're welcoming your questions and your experiences for our guest. She is Kimberly Powell, author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. We'll get to more of your questions in just a few moments. But first, Bill Martins joins me again. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Listeners like you are such an important source of Wisconsin Public Radio's income. Your gift will take just a few minutes of your time, and it will keep this program and others like it going strong. So invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We are looking for 47 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. Make that donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can choose the Guide to Online Genealogy, the third edition, with your pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. Your pledge supports the programs, and you'll get this great resource. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the things that I learned from my grandma, I believe, when I was doing this for a class project many years ago in grade school, somehow, and I'm not exactly sure what the relation is, but I'm related to a guy named Ron Vanderkellen.
Is he famous?
Well, Badger fans, Wisconsin Badger football fans would know him, because Ron Vanderkellen was the Badgers quarterback the year they went to the Rose Bowl in 1963.
Oh.
So they lost that game, unfortunately, the only loss of the year. But that was kind of cool to find out that,
yeah, that's neat.
Hey, I'm related to a Badger quarterback.
And you knew that because you're so great at football, right?
right.
Well, that's what's fun about it. I have not done much in terms of genealogy. A couple of family members have dabbled in it, but I really would like to dig into the family history. And I think that there's a lot of great information in this book to get started and to navigate the different sites, the things to do if you run into some roadblocks. So if you also are fascinated with family history, if you are someone or if you know someone who is really interested in genealogy and you love Wisconsin Public Radio, well, what more can you do but support Wisconsin Public Radio and get a great thank you gift? So make your pledge of $150 or $12.50 a month to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for the Everything Guide to Online Genealogy.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I enjoy your programs. What I enjoy most about it is, you know, I'm born in Milwaukee, I have an urban point of view of things. When I listen to your callers calling throughout the states, I have all kinds of points of view from a rural, farm, you name it. I just like to hear the points of view through the state, and I enjoy and I learn from the other callers.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. That was Victor. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of any amount, maybe $12.50 a month, is going to do a lot to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and it will get you the book, The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whatever your reason is for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and the Joy Cardine Show, that's also your reason for giving. Maybe WPR is your place to find out about state issues or hear what experts and callers have to say about a variety of topics. Maybe you love the weekend shows. Whatever your reason is for tuning in, that's your reason to give to support the quality you come back for day after day after day. Listener support, your support, makes WPR happen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Charlie from Madison who pledged and said, "We moved here last year and Wisconsin Public Radio has helped us learn more about Wisconsin and feel at home." Well, Charlie, welcome home. Thanks for listening. Thanks for pledging. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you'd like to join Charlie and support listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And remember, for your pledge of $12.50 a month, a $150 pledge for the year, you can ask for the Everything Guide to Online Genealogy.
And we are looking for, let's see, 44 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. And remember, that gift of $12.50 a month can earn you a copy of the Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. You genealogists are going to love this reference tool, and that can be yours, again, for $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So are you into family history, genealogy? What got you involved? Have you run into any roadblocks? Do you have any rewarding stories to tell? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to join us on air. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking with Kimberly Powell. She is About.com's expert genealogist. She is president of the Association of Professional Genealogists, and she is the author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. And we have other callers, so let's go to Laura in Milwaukee next. Hello, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, what do you want to know?
Go ahead. I have anything for someone who's from Almond, Wisconsin. There's a book out there that's about Almond, Wisconsin.
What does that have to do with tracing your family tree, Laura?
Because it has everybody's names, who they were, who they were born to, and what country they came from, and in my family situation, why.
Well, why did your family go to Alden?
Almond.
Almond, I'm sorry.
Almond. But because they were serfs, And that was an area between Germany and France, depending on what war you belonged to, one country or the other. There was too many people, too many, you know, serfs. They put a law out that they couldn't have, get married. They still had children.
Wow, that is kind of a startling reason to come to this country. Kimberly, do you find that kind of stuff out?
Yeah, there's a lot of actually interesting information in some of those old county histories, family histories, town histories. And for people who are searching for them, libraries are a great resource. You can go to worldcat.org and you can search to see what might have been written about anything that might relate to your own family history, and then it tells you what libraries you can get that book from. And there are also several online websites that carry old books if they're out of copyright, Google Books and Hathi Digital Trust and Internet Archive, which is at archive.org. Those are all places where you can find old books which might have information about your family history, including some of those interesting stories that, you know, were shared by people who lived back then.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm sorry I misunderstood the name of the town. Almond, Wisconsin, a book called Our Town, if you would like to check that out if you're from that area or have family from that area. Let's go next to Harold in Superior. Hello, Harold.
Well, good morning. I'm just interested in knowing what you would think about what would be the best, one of the better softwares to use just to compile this information. I've downloaded a number of different ones, and I have never really got too far into them. Currently, I have Geno Pro, and that was kind of a recommended program, but I really want to do it right the first time and get something that we can all work on together, you know, my other family members.
Can you recommend some software, Kimberly, for Harold?
That's actually a tough question because the choice of a software program is really kind of personal. It depends on what works for you. If you're planning to work with a lot of other family members, is one of the things you need to consider. If you want to keep it private on your own computer or if you want to share it on the internet is another thing to consider. There's several websites that offer tools for sharing family, creating, building, and sharing their family trees online, like Ancestry.com has Ancestry member trees, and MyHeritage has a family tree builder tool. But then there's also standalone programs such as Legacy Family Tree and Roots Magic and Family Tree Maker, which works with the Ancestry member trees, and other programs such as those that all can work on your own computer. You can share the file between your family members. You could publish a website from them if you wanted. The goal is to figure out what it is you want to do, you know, if you want to build it online or if you want to keep it a little bit more private on your own computer. You can make private trees online. And then you need to find the one that makes sense to you, that when you open it up, it's the most intuitive because that's going to be the easiest for you and your family members to use. And all of them have good tools and all of them, you know, do the basics very well. So some of it to me is what's most intuitive to you. You know, what do you find the easiest, mm-hmm. what makes the most sense, and go with that program.
A listener on Facebook did recommend one you mentioned, Family Tree Maker, a software for creating family trees. She said it syncs with he says it syncs with his online tree at Ancestry.com and allows other family members to see what's going on.
Yes, I have a lot of people who use the Ancestry online trees and then sync it with their Family Tree Maker because the software itself on the computer is more powerful than the online tool.
Yeah, you wrote a blog about the unique challenge of tracing African-American families. Black History Month. What makes this demographic so complicated?
Well, the problem is that the vast majority of African Americans today are descendants of slaves who were brought to North America in the 18th and 19th centuries. And because those slaves had no legal rights, they're often not found in any of the traditional record sources available for that period. They're not listed by name, or if they're listed by name, they're only listed by first name and they don't have a last name. Which makes them very hard to identify. And but there are a lot of records that will help, but it's just not the traditional ones. You're not going to find them in census records prior to 1870. They're listed by number. There's, you know, an age and a number, and that's all that they are. But you can find them in other records that were created after the war. You can find bills of sale. You can find slaves listed in the state inventories. And also, a lot of them changed their names. We were talking about name changes earlier. A lot of them just, you know, some of them might have taken it on the name of an owner or a nearby neighbor. Some of them just created their own name. And some of them might have had one name in 1870 and have changed it by 1880 as they, you know, tried to figure out who they wanted to be and who what they wanted to be called. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a difficult challenge as well.
Looking at another piece you wrote for about.com genealogy, it was the top 10 genealogy questions. And I laughed when I saw this one, but I have it for real. What is a first cousin twice removed?
The cousin relationship has to do with your common ancestor. So if you're first cousins, you share a grandparent. If the removal is how far you are from that common ancestor. So if your first cousin has a child and then a grandchild, your first cousin's grandchild would be your first cousin once removed because you're still related to that same ancestor, the grandparent, but they're two generations further removed down the tree from you.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Janesville. Hello, John.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. What would you like to say?
Well, we've been doing genealogy history for, well, pretty close to over 50 years or more. I believe my grandmother's got a certificate for 50 years in the society. We are now completing the 200 year, and we have four families with over 200 years of history, and we've found a lot of challenges and found a lot of name changes in towns and cities and things, and it's been very interesting.
Wow, John, will you do mine now? he's ignoring my question, Kimberly. Well, that's so he's been at this for 50 years, or the family has anyway. It sounds like they've got it done. Is it ever really done, Kimberly?
I would say no. Mm. I mean, there's always more to learn, even if you haven't traced back as far as you want to go. How much have you learned about them? Have you gone beyond the names, when they were born, when they died, who they married? But what did you learn about them as people? You know, what did they eat? What kind of crops did they grow if they were a farmer? Did they ever fight in a war? What were their political views? You can find a lot of that information, too, and that's what really brings those ancestors of yours alive, is all those little clues. And so I think you're never done. However, I have to say, we all wish we had somebody like him in our family who'd done that 50 years worth.
Way to go, John.
Already.
I wish we had more time. We have lots of callers and questions still, but maybe you could leave us with just a few words of advice for those of us who, I don't know, haven't started yet or are running into roadblocks. What can you do to motivate us, Kimberly?
I would just say look at it as a challenge. If you're running into roadblocks and you're getting frustrated, take a class. Go to your local library. See if they offer a class. There's free online webinars that about genealogy that are offered by multiple organizations. You can find them at geniawebinars.com, which I believe is listed in my book as well. And you can learn about upcoming webinars. A lot of organizations like the Wisconsin Historical Society offer classes and webinars and workshops. And so getting together with other genealogists, joining a group on Facebook or joining a mailing list or taking a class can really help you jump past that hurdle that you have and find the help that you need to keep going.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Kimberly Powell is the author of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Bill Mertens joins me for the last few minutes of the program to encourage you to make a donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. And, Bill, we are offering this book as our thank you gift this hour.
We are. For your gift of $12.50 a month, that's $150 over the course of a year, you can get the Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, the book that we've been talking about this past hour. It's loaded with all kinds of resources to help you learn more about your family history, and that can be yours again for $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 37 pledges to make our goal this hour. We have about 10 minutes to do that, and you can help by making your donation of any amount. If you're not interested in the thank you gift, any gift is welcome this month at WPR.org. This hour, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, this hour genealogy and tracing your family history is really just an example of the kind of fun, interesting, informative conversations we bring you on the Joy Cardine Show every single day. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? Well, it does not mean government-funded radio, and it doesn't mean free radio. Public radio means listener-supported radio. Listener support is the single largest source of WPR's operating budget, more than business contributions, more than federal tax dollars, and more than state tax dollars. Your gift of any amount really matters. And if you really want the book, The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, pledge $150 to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, this is Ari Shapiro from NPR News. Why not think of your support of public radio as a subscription? You subscribe to all sorts of things, magazines, maybe Netflix, maybe cable TV. By choosing to pay your public radio contribution monthly, you can add our voices to those other services that are worth a little something each month. And what you give to your station will probably be one of the smallest monthly payments you make, yet the biggest value of the bunch. Here's how to sign up, and thanks.
All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, asking for your contribution to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. You decide how much to pledge. If you would like the book, The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy, the third edition just out. If you want to know how to trace your roots, share your history, and create your own family tree, and support Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time, pledge $12.50 a month or $150 to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the things that I really like about working on this show is just how much you learn about various things. I had always wondered about the twice removed, three times removed, all that kind of stuff and what that meant, and I was really glad to hear that question come up and to hear Kimberly's response to that, because I've always wondered. And I think, Joy, that's something that you do very well, is asking questions that a lot of people have and want to have the answers to. And it's great to be able to provide our listeners with that kind of information. So if that's something that's important to you, make that pledge of support to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help ensure that these engaging conversations are here to stay.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. I learn something about genealogy. You fill in the blank about how you feel when you hear this program. They are powerful feelings, and when you make a powerful statement, when you support what you value, you can do that by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, and we're still looking for 33 more of you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. And don't forget that your pledge of $12.50 a month, ask for the copy of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy. Trace your roots, share your history, and create your family tree. Again, $12.50 a month, and you'll have you'll be armed with all kinds of resources to help you trace your family tree and learn about your family's past. It's a great reference guide. Again, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can become a sustaining member by making that pledge of $12.50 a month or $150 to get the guide to online genealogy. You can become a sustainer by setting that up as monthly installments taken out of your bank account or charged to your credit card or debit card. You can set that up by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a little bit of time left here, only about a minute and a half. So now is the time to make that pledge if you're into genealogy and this is a discussion that's important to you, the type of thing you love to learn about. Make that pledge of support to WPR and ask for your copy of The Everything Guide to Online Genealogy for your gift of $12.50 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Bill Martins. Thanks also to producer-director Christy Taylor and Robin Cherry. Couldn't do this show without them. Your pledge also thanks them at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.